I'm Ren.
I'm Liz.
And this is
My Sister Said It.
Wow. A little cringy. It's fine.
Every time.
It's just, normally I say this is my... Never mind. Okay. Anyway.
What?
It's a Monday, folks. Okay. Speaking of Mondays, let's just get right into it with our wellness wins and wah-wahs.
Okay.
Now, would you like to start? Sure. And are you starting with a win or a wah-wah? Or
I'm gonna want or a win. Start with a. I do love ending on the wins, mm-hmm. but I'm gonna do win and then want because they're connected.
Okay.
My win is the fact that I'm several months into my gut protocol, and I'm feeling pretty good about it. I feel like I've done a pretty good job of sticking with like the elimination diet that I had set, and staying away from the inflammatory foods that don't love me, with a few. Exceptions here and there. I'm not going to go to a 60 person pizza party and tell them to get me my own food. So I'm going to eat the pizza and be fine. Yes. But yeah, I think like I also have in the beginning, it was really hard to adjust the way that I ate. And like, it was just felt very overwhelming to figure out like, how the heck am I even going to eat enough? And now I feel like I'm in a place where I'm really enjoying the stuff that I'm making and feeling like really good when I eat it. And so in that sense, I'm feeling great.
Nice.
However, my wah-wah is that I'm starting this like next phase in the protocol. And basically like what I'm doing right now is I'm killing off the bad bacteria along with decreasing inflammation by eliminating those foods that are causing that inflammation. But they told me this could happen, and I have read stuff and listened to podcasts where they talk about this, but it's kind of like called die-off, and you can have symptoms. And one of the symptoms that you can have is like extreme fatigue and brain fog, and holy cow, am I feeling that, like especially today. And I just have to keep reminding myself like it's fine, but it is every once in a while kind of discouraging just because the whole – or one of the reasons I'm doing this is to eliminate that brain fog. So to have it come back and come back with a vengeance is not fun at all. So It's helpful to know like this is just temporary and there's a reason for it. And it kind of goes to show that like that bacteria, basically what's happening is when that bacteria dies off, it's like dispersing and then all its toxins and whatever are kind of floating around in your system. And it just goes to show how strong that brain gut connection is because I am really feeling the effects of it. Like it's all the stuff is happening in my gut, but I'm feeling it in my head. Mm-hmm. and so anyways, I know it's because it's doing what it's supposed to be doing, but it's never fun to feel like you're just a robot going through life.
That is not fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. Makes sense. And I forget, do you know, you said it's just as long as it takes. There's no like, typically we see better results within 3 months or.
From everything that I've listened to and then discussions with my naturopath, it seems like the standard is 6 months, but of course everyone's going to be different. Mm-hmm. And I do think it depends on like exactly what your protocol is and how your body responds. So my thought process is kind of 6 months, but I've been trying to learn more about how I can really like support my body in this time so that it's not like a vicious cycle of like, okay, for 6 months, I'm going to eat this way and like take these supplements and yada, yada. And then go right back to where I started and kind of, yeah, start that cycle over. So I think it is different for everyone. But really for me, like I'm just going to go off of symptoms more than anything. When I meet with my practitioner next, it'll be in a couple months. Mm-hmm. And we'll do actually like a test. We're going to do a SIBO test at that point. But again, for me, it's like, it's mostly about how I'm feeling and what my symptoms are that I'll go off of.
Yeah,
so
definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, wishing you all of the gut health.
Oh, thank you.
Fairies.
It's a journey.
I can picture, you know, the Mucinex, I think it is commercial.
Yes.
Where they're like running rampant and then they see the Mucinex coming and they're like, yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like that's like your bad gut bacteria is literally like, it's seeing the protocol and it's like putting up a fight as it's dying off.
But yes.
You've seen the ending of the commercial. They don't win.
They don't win. Yeah. So that's the hope. Really trying to support the good guys yes. and eliminate the bad guys. Mm-hmm. So
yes.
Yeah.
All right.
What about you?
My win would probably just be I'm still in my running phase.
Yeah,
you are. And I won't even call it a phase anymore because it's just I'm doing it. And it's not like other times in the past where I've been like, I like running. And then I do it a few times and then it's over. I'm like, well, I am not on a training plan. Skylar is. But by association, I am now participating in yeah. this training plan. And so, you know, it pains me to admit this because he's mm-hmm. like, just get on your own plan. But I'm like, I don't like data and rules, but
I just want to run and be free.
That's kind of what I say to him. But yesterday we went to the Back Bay and we ran, and his plan will tell him like, you're going to do this amount of time at this pace. Mm. And then there might be a set time where you adjust the pace. And this particular run had moments where you're basically running. It gives you like a target time. So okay. like running within this time frame for like 20 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
And I just felt like a freaking gazelle. Like, I'm just like, look like, at and me I'm sprinting. Go. And I was like, elongate the legs. And like, it just was like so fun to just like really run super fast.
Yeah.
And then the slowing it down part was not as fun.
Right. Because then you feel like you're like a snail. Catching up.
And yeah. But yeah, so I'm enjoying that.
That's cool. Is it an app that he's using to?
He's using all sorts of things. Yeah. He's got a Garmin watch and he's got other trainer things and. Yeah.
I feel like it's really nice too when you have a partner to do it with because
yes.
you can motivate each other and keep each yes. other accountable. And
yeah, definitely.
It's more fun that way.
Yeah, I was telling him it's nice because it's like we're investing in our wellness, which is great, but it's also just a shared interest mm-hmm. that we have. And so now our thing is like looking for fun trails to run
mm-hmm.
and fun places to get food after.
Ooh,
so
I love that.
It's just like a fun little way to like invest in our health and then invest in our relationship, which is
yeah
also investing in your health. So
healthy little dates.
Yes. So yeah, it's
I love
fun.
That.
My want would be just that my period absolutely murdered me. Absolutely murdered me last week, and literally it just made me go like, why am I making any of these changes when sometimes, you know, when you have a setback like that, yeah. it can make everything. And logically, I'm like, because you feel better in this way.
Yeah.
But the one thing I'm like really aiming for, I haven't obviously quite nailed. So
yeah.
that can just be like I had one day after where I was like, I'm not taking any of my supplements. And like, that was the first time that I've like not taking them.
Yeah.
And I was like, I have no reason to not
right.
take them. I'm just angry.
I have done that too. We were just like, yeah. screw it. I don't yeah. even care. What's the point?
Yeah. I was like, this magnesium tastes bad and I'm done.
Your flavorless magnesium.
It is not flavorless. Okay. I've never missed a great magnesium more in
have
my entire life.
Have we talked about this on the podcast?
I don't think so.
We get our magnesium from our naturopath's office and they have two flavors, grape and no flavor, which apparently is false.
Yes.
And Ren hated the grape flavor in the beginning. She was like, this is awful. I hate it. I'm getting the non-flavored next time. And then apparently
the non-flavored, let me tell you what it tastes like. It legitimately tastes like dehydrated fish bones.
Ew.
Okay. What? The aftertaste is insulting.
How like, much water do you mix it with?
Well, here's the thing. I don't, you probably just, not enough.
Because you're just trying to
but I don't,
take a shot
like,
of
I,
it. And
yeah.
Be done.
I've got to just throw it back and like, oh, I can't put it into words. Like, and I just keep every day, I'm like, why isn't it going down? Why is there so much left?
That's just one way to keep your supplement going forever.
Yeah. Which is, you know, like versus the purple one, I was like, even though, I got used to the flavor. Towards the end, yeah. I was actually kind of sad to see it go. But
yeah,
never thought I'd miss it so much. But with the purple one, I didn't want it to get down lower because, you know, it's expensive. So I was like, oh, yeah. good. This thing is like eternal. It's lasting forever. This unflavored powder, I'm like, it, first of all, it just, it's, you take it at the end of the day. Mm-hmm. So it's like all day, I'm just like,
just thinking
it's
about
it.
It's
the last thing I take.
Oh.
And at least with the purple one, like it got to the point where I was like, okay, this taste is telling my brain, like it's sleepy night time, time to relax.
But the dehydrated
But the fish bones, no, it's putting me in fight or flight mode. Okay. So, yeah.
Oh, man.
Anyways.
Could you mix? I'm trying to think if you could like mix something else in it to take away the flavor.
Well, here's the other thing. The purple one mixed really well. I'm sure that people are so fascinated by this, but it mixed and you could let it sit. I finally learned. You let it sit like 20 minutes.
Oh,
it dissolves into the water. You're good to go.
Oh, good to know. This, I always just take the chunks.
Oh, no, no. You don't have to. But in the unflavored one, no.
Really?
No, no, no.
It's giving collagen vibes.
Yes.
Like, I do not like the taste of collagen.
I think it might be similar tasting.
Ugh. Yeah. Yeah, that's bad.
Yeah. So I'm like, and literally when I was at her office, I heard her say to another customer, oh, the unflavored is great. There is absolutely no taste.
Maybe she mixes it with other things, though.
But wouldn't you say that? I mean, like...
Or and maybe she really doesn't. Maybe she can't taste it.
Well, then I have questions. Because I want you to try it.
I do want to try it, but I'm a little afraid.
Can you take your magnesium here tonight?
Sure.
Skylar's like, fantastic. That's like $7 worth
more
of magnesium.
Taking our magnesium.
No, I kind of want to make you try it live on the pod. I'm not going to lie. Maybe when we record our next episode.
Okay.
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 Yeah.
So exciting. Wait. We'll take it together.
Oh, goody.
Okay. Oh, those are my wins and wah-wahs.
Can I tell you something about my magnesium?
Yeah.
I'm just going to admit it right here. Uh-huh. Sometimes I'm way too lazy to like go get a cup, fill it with water.
No.
Put in magnesium.
No.
Mix it around.
No.
I've only done this twice.
Oh. No.
But I have crying. My little water bottle here. That's like almost always filled up. So I take a scoop and I just... plop it in my mouth.
No.
Well, actually, no, I take a sip first. I keep the water in my mouth. Take a scoop of the magnesium, plop it in my mouth, and just swallow it. And it honestly is fine.
Okay.
Yeah. When I first did it, I was kind of thinking to myself, am I putting myself into a cinnamon challenge kind of vibe?
Yeah.
And like, is this going to go everywhere? But since I took the water first, it was fine.
Okay. I will not be doing that. And do not do that with the unflavored.
Oh.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Maybe, though, if you're just trying to get it down.
No, 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 no. I think you need to know something. I shut my brain off when it goes in my mouth. Like, literally, I tell my brain, do not taste, do not taste, do not taste, do not taste.
Just plug your nose.
No, I just don't even breathe. It's just like,
oh, okay, yeah.
And then I tell my brain, don't taste, don't taste, don't taste, don't taste. And it's like still in my mouth. I'm like, no, no, no,
you
no,
need,
no.
Like,
and
a
I
chaser.
Get my water. Well, I
like
get my
maybe
water.
Maybe some Hue chocolate.
I don't want to taint. I don't want to taint that. No.
Oh.
I just grab my water and like viciously swish it around in my mouth.
Okay.
So that's how I end each and every one of my days.
Take your magnesium, kids.
Sounds restful, doesn't it?
We really took the magnesium and just did our own thing with it.
Yeah.
I do like it though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I wanted it to, everyone always like, when you hear of people who are magnesium deficient, which I can't remember if I was. If I was, it was very slight, but just a lot of people are like, oh, and it's probably just, they're selling magnesium probably, but they'll just be like, I take it and then I'm just sleepy and I sleep through the night. Mm-hmm. And I haven't necessarily felt that experience yet.
Yeah.
We shall see. It's probably because my brain
is like...
The
fish bones are just hanging out.
Exactly.
You can't sleep.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, all right. I wish you a speedy run through the fishbone magnesium.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
The grape will never... It'll taste so good.
Yeah, I know. I'm so excited. Yeah, I've never wanted something more. All right. Well, as promised, we are continuing with our cycle syncing episodes. This is going to be like a mini one, except it won't because we just spent 14 minutes talking about magnesium.
Very good.
But basically, we're going to hit on working out this time around. So working out for your cycle. And then in our next episode, we will touch on diet. and nutrition choices for your cycle. So I thought that I would like re-go through the phases really fast and not like breaking them down, literally just their name. Yeah. And we forgot to, on our last episode, I said on the spot we were going to come up with an acronym.
Oh.
And we forgot.
We did.
Yeah. So we need to do that too. Okay. So as I am saying the names, just be thinking
of an acronym. Start processing. And if you have no idea what the heck we're talking about, you can go back to last week's episode and give it a listen.
What a nice plug.
Yeah. Thank you.
Solid.
Great. Hey, Skylar, that one was for you.
I'd be so proud.
Yeah. But yeah, go give it a listen and then come back to this episode and you'll know. Yeah. If you feel so led.
We're not above begging here. Okay. First, we have our menstrual phase. Now, again, friends, the phases, their length, it varies from person to person. Okay. So last episode, we talked about how there is an average cycle length. But everyone is different. So do with that what you will. Yes. But typically the menstrual phase is days 1 to 5. Okay. And again, menstrual phase is your period. So the start of your period, day one of your period is day one of the menstrual phase. Okay. Yes. And I don't know why for the longest time, I just viewed the period as like the end of the phase. Like yeah, that made, it's like the finale.
Yeah.
And not in a great way. but no, it's the start.
Yeah.
Which is also not great. Better. No, it's not. okay. So we've got that phase. And keep in mind, that's when you're going to have a lot of your nutrients and just your like energy depleted, right? And it makes sense because
yes,
you're losing iron, to put it nicely.
Yeah. Which we'll kind of get into this, but it's interesting because even saying that, not take with a grain of salt, but really like don't take what we're saying as fact. Take how you feel mm-hmm. as fact, because there are people who say like, oh no, I perform so much better when I'm on my period. Your hormones are closest to how like a man's would be, which not saying, you know, the closer you are to being a man, the better off you are.
But definitely not saying that.
Yeah. But some people do say like, oh, I actually, yeah, feel better and have more energy. And then, you know, majority of people feel like I just want to be in the fetal position and sleep. So
yeah,
you could be either.
For sure.
But regardless, hormones are at their lowest.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And personally, for me, I'll hit days in my period where I'm like, I can't go on. I'm so depleted of any life and nutrients. I am a shell of myself. So for me, it rings true.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Then we go from the menstrual phase to the follicular phase. And nice. I have gotten better at saying that word.
Killed it.
Thank you. And that, again, is anywhere between days 6 to 13. Mm-hmm. So it's basically a week. Okay. Yep. And during this phase, this is when your body is preparing to release an egg for ovulation. So
it's prepping.
Yes, it's prepping. Following that is ovulation. And again, this literally just says day 14. Again, you're most likely not going to ovulate on the same day every month. And I talked about, natural cycles last week, but to give like a real life example, getting really personal here, mm-hmm. like a month ago or 2 months ago, I ovulated on like day, I want to say like 15. Of okay. my cycle. And then this past time it was like day 9.
Oh, whoa.
And that's a big change.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Now, again, I am not the poster child for balanced hormones, ladies and gentlemen. So, yeah. So don't aspire to be me.
So,
but
does that mean you go right into your luteal phase and are in it for the rest of the time?
Yeah.
Well, you have shorter cycles.
I have shorter
too.
Cycles. My cycles are normally like 3 weeks. So
okay.
it makes sense. Tracks. And actually, the time where I ovulated later, then my period came like, I want to say it was like day 27. And I was like, oh, what in the okay. world? Like,
okay,
this so is tracks. Unlike me. Yeah. So my body at least is like matching,
going through
I guess.
The cycles.
But it's just good to note, like, a lot of people are like, I know that I ovulate on this day. And it's like, I was one of those people. Yeah. Because you can have symptoms and signs. And you definitely at least can know the window of time. But just keep in mind that there's like a lot of factors that have to line up. And so being super confident that you ovulate on the same day each month is not the best mindset.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then the after ovulation is the luteal phase. And that is from, again, approximately days 15 to 28. So it's the longest phase. And then we start all over with the menstrual. So, and I believe that the luteal phase, I mean, at that point, your body, if you're not pregnant, like recognizes you're not pregnant. So it's no longer like preparing to house a child.
Yeah. It's starting to reverse.
Right.
And prep for the shedding.
Right. Versus like your follicular phase, my understanding is that your body is like kind of ramping up to prepare for a child.
Yeah.
Like the possibility of having a successful pregnancy. So that's interesting to know too, just how your body is like, it's like party planning and then the party is over. And the guest of honor did not show up.
That's kind of a sad way of looking at it.
I just more meant like,
Yeah.
It's not, I don't mean it to be sad.
Maybe you wanted the guest of honor to show up. Maybe you didn't.
Yeah, maybe. Yep. Right. Right. Might be a great thing.
Their own.
Exactly. No, I just am. More,
Yeah. No, it was a good analogy.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
we'll remember that.
Okay. So speaking of things to remember, acronyms. So it's MFOL.
MFOL? My fun ovulatory life. My fun.
My fun octopus Leo. When you need to remember your cycle, just remember my fun octopus Leo.
People are going to be like, my fun what? What was I supposed to remember? My freaking
this is hard, huh?
Yeah, it's hard on the spot.
MFOL. Well, why don't we do this? I'm going to just let it simmer.
Okay.
And listeners, if you have a suggestion, please let us know.
Yeah.
Acronym for MFOL. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Otherwise, we're just going
to
sit here.
To it.
Yeah. Sounds good. Sounds good.
Okay.
Okay.
Love it.
Alrighty. Let's get in to the exercise. Okay. So we talked about this last week, but with different phases means that your body is prepared or less prepared to handle strenuous activity.
Mm-hmm.
And how that's actually a positive thing, and how when we listen to that, like our body will thank us.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll start with the M, the menstrual phase. Okay. It makes a lot of sense to me, but again, because you're losing nutrients and most people are going to feel lower amounts of energy, the exercise very much correlates. So everything I read was basically like, it was yoga.
Okay.
Walking.
Mm-hmm.
And stretching.
Love it.
And like across the board, that is what I saw.
Yeah. The general consensus.
Yeah. And it makes, you know, complete sense to me.
Yeah.
I mean, even logically, my brain, right? Like even before I was fully aware of exercising for the cycle, when my period would come, the last thing I'm wanting to do is an ab workout, right? Like that's just going to be a no for me.
Just ramping up those muscles.
Right. So I think instinctually, we know, like our body tells us already, you know, hey, I'm not really down for that.
Right.
But what I like about like the options of yoga, walking and stretching is that it is still movement. Like yoga is not easy. Like you can do beginner yoga, but it still like requires like thought, and it requires precision, and it requires like
focus,
stamina.
Strength, yeah.
Yeah. But it's just designed to be in a less like intense way. And there's a lot more opportunities for deep breathing and like intentional slow movement. And And so, and same with like walking and stretching. And,
yeah.
And when, even when my period is at its worst, I mean, I really try and do push myself to get to my morning walk before work, because mm-hmm. almost always, I mean, it's painful to begin with, but almost always towards the end of my walk, I do start to feel not completely better by any means, but the edge is definitely taken off.
There's a little relief.
Yeah. And, yeah. And so, and then with stretching too, I mean, that makes a lot of sense to me, even just thinking about how, and again, I'm viewing it all through the lens of like, I have a very painful period, so it could mm-hmm. be different for other people, but my period, because I'm in so much pain, my body is tense. Like, yeah. It's just so tense.
Yeah.
And so that stretching aspect of reminding your body to relax yeah. and to like release that tension, I think is super important.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's so true. It's like, and even just the idea of aiding your body in like lymphatic drainage and just kind of helping it to move things along mm-hmm. without pushing it too hard.
Yeah.
And again, like I said, and I think we're on the same page of this, is like, ultimately it comes down to listening to your body. So if for some reason you have a huge spike of energy or you're like craving going on a run, mm-hmm. some people would be like, that's insane. I never want to run a day in my life on my period. But mm-hmm. some people do. And it's like, okay, then go do it. Like, don't tell yourself now, oh no, I cannot right. because oh, yeah. I'm cycle syncing.
Right.
but I like the idea of just, yeah, being aware of, okay, like this week I am kind of going through this phase of my cycle. And so I can be intentional about planning my workouts, you know, with that in mind, mm-hmm. whatever that looks like for you. Mm-hmm. And I also heard someone say, like, give this example of, you know, it doesn't mean you have to change the way that you work out. So the example they gave was maybe you like to weightlift, and that's great. We're not saying you have to stop weightlifting mm-hmm. for a week. But maybe you just lift a little bit less that week.
Right.
You just go a little bit easier on yourself. Right. Stuff like that. It's like you're just giving your body the space it needs to kind of be in the state that it's in.
Right. Yeah, and I think we talked about last week how like I have a hard time when I'm in a phase where I'm like supposed to be thriving and I might have a day where I'm not, and how I was like getting mad at myself for that.
Yeah.
But again, we talked about like, no, instead of getting mad at yourself, give yourself grace and be like, okay, I'm going to honor my body by listening to what it needs.
Totally.
And then I don't have to be disappointed that I couldn't, you know, run that extra mile or I couldn't fill in the blank, because it's like, no, I had to show up for my body in a different way than
totally,
planned.
Totally,
yeah. And that's okay.
Exactly. And yeah, I think that's what we get excited about, is like feeling empowered to make decisions based off of what we know and what we're learning about yeah. our bodies. I think there's some danger in the virality of cycle syncing mm-hmm. if people are now like just ascribing to, okay,
right.
for 7 days, I'm going to do yoga. And then for the next part of my cycle, I'm going to like sprint every day. And, you know, right. it's just like, that's just as harmful as being told you have to go hard every single day, or, you know, women have to work out in a specific way. Right. So yeah, but it is exciting to have that mindset of like, okay, I am in control of my body. I can listen to my body and what I'm feeling is legitimate. Mm-hmm. And like, then I can plan the way that I live and the way that I take care of myself accordingly.
Yeah. Yeah. If anything, I would say it's more important to have awareness.
Yeah.
More than anything, because I do think like because we have such busy lives and we have to, you know, show up to our, you know, our jobs and things like that, sometimes we don't take the time to like check in with our body and be like, how am I feeling?
Yeah.
Or, like, how did that workout make me feel?
Totally.
Or that food, you know, all these things, like we're really good at shoving that down and mm-hmm. being like, yeah, I'll get to that later. And then you never do.
Totally.
Versus now, and I used to have that mindset, but now I find it so empowering to be like, I feel this way and the data is matching that. And so mm-hmm. that it's kind of like working in tandem.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think too, there's like, say you're in a part of your cycle where you're supposed to have higher energy levels and you're able to go a little harder in your workouts. If you wake up and you're not feeling that way, I think it can be sometimes easy to feel like, okay, I'm not motivated to do an intense workout at all. But if I'm not going to do an intense workout, then what's the point? Mm-hmm. And then you just don't end up doing anything right. at all. And again, it's like, No, it's all about just moving and like keeping your body active so that you can remain active for a long time.
Yeah. Cause I actually honestly feel, I mean, I feel satisfied when I complete a challenging workout, but on the days where I do show up, even when I'm like, I don't really feel like it, those are the most satisfying. Even if I'm like, I moved for 10 minutes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
But I did it.
Yeah.
And so then that becomes more of a habit.
Yeah. And it becomes part of your identity of like, I'm someone who's going to show up for myself even when it's a little bit harder.
Yeah.
Without torturing myself.
Yes. Yeah. It's all a balance, folks.
Yes. Always.
All right. Moving to the... I'm glad I didn't say that. Moving to the follicular phase. I was going with the acronyms, but...
Oh.
Okay. Anyways, follicular phase. So again, this is where your body is preparing to release an egg, and it's also kind of preparing for pregnancy. And so this is where you're going to start to get like a surge of energy. Mm-hmm. So again, across the board, it's all these exercises that are just like kind of increasing your movement and your cardio. It's not to like the peak yet. But again, I think we talked about this last week that the phases kind of meld into each other, right?
Right.
So immediately after the follicular phase is the ovulatory phase, and that everything you read, it's like, that's the day to just hit it.
Yeah.
Right. But it's like, okay, realistically, you can probably kind of combine like your follicular phase and your ovulatory phase. You're probably going to see like, I don't know, you're probably going to notice your energy gradually increasing as you near that phase.
Coming out of the menstrual phase.
Yeah. And so you can start, you know, like for example, they go from, you know, walking in your menstrual phase to now running is a suggestion, right? That's like a gradual, like, okay, we went from walking to running. Or now they're talking about cycling or swimming or hiking. But then immediately after with the ovulatory phase, it's like HIIT, circuit training, strength training.
Yeah.
And so I feel like you can kind of combine those, right? You can like, sure, go for a run one day, but like there's nobody telling you that if in your follicular phase you're feeling good and energized, like go for that HIIT workout. Right.
It's not like you can do a HIIT workout one day out of your entire cycle.
That would be silly. Right. So I kind of like to keep those phases linked a little bit, I guess. And I think I've mentioned this before, but like I have a specific day in that phase, in my follicular phase, where it's like a no for me. Like I have to pretty much probably do something that I would in my menstrual phase.
Totally.
But then once that day is over, then I do feel this surge of like, okay, I'm ready.
Yeah.
And I have this energy. So, yeah.
Yeah. And I feel like, again, it goes back to having that mindset of just moving, because there have been days where I am like, oh, I don't really feel like doing anything, but I'll just go on, like, go for a walk. And then as I'm walking, I'm like, ah, oh, I kind of want to run right now. And if you do, like, go for it.
Right.
But versus had I been like, okay, I have to go out and I have to run, like, then I'm just not looking forward to it or I don't even do it.
Yeah.
So sometimes you just do have to gradually up the intensity as you feel ready for it.
Yeah. Yeah. And I like these two phases because I think that it gives you like the most creativity, I guess, like opportunity for creativity, because there's so many different things. If you look at these exercises, they are more like cardio and strength centered. Not to say that walking isn't cardio, but you know, it's not elevating your heart rate to the same, you know, level that running or cycling or a circuit training is going to do.
Yeah.
But there's just so many different types of cardio exercises that I just like that, like, for this entire phase, you could essentially try a different type of workout every day and not, and you're doing something completely different. And that's kind of like fun and exciting too.
Totally.
So I think too, like, this is the phase where maybe you see, like, I don't know, maybe you follow a certain fitness YouTuber and, you know, sometimes they'll have like different levels of videos, right? So maybe you go, hey, like, normally I, you know, go for the beginner. I'm going to try intermediate this time, or I'm going to try advanced this time. And like, you can push yourself that way too.
Totally.
Yeah. And because of like the motivation that kind of surges through this time, like, you might find it easier to complete those things. And then that will carry forward.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Cause once you try like a new workout and you see like, oh, it wasn't as scary or intense as I thought, then like it just kind of is a snowball effect. Yeah. So
it motivates you.
Yeah. So again, right after the follicular phase is the ovulatory phase. And again, this is just peak. Like you should, I don't want to say you should be able to, but like if things are working how they should, you're probably going to be just the most energized, the most motivated. And again, we talked about how the follicular phase kind of goes into the ovulatory phase. Then I would argue the ovulatory phase also goes into the luteal phase, mm-hmm. because as we enter the luteal phase, we start to go back to slower paced exercises, mm-hmm. walking, strength training, which that's different from the menstrual.
Yeah.
Pilates, mm-hmm. yoga. So it's still, you know, it could be intense workouts and it mm-hmm. could be like cardio related and, you know, you could be lifting a lot of weight, but it's starting to kind of approach that menstrual phase again, where you start to slow down. Right.
Yeah.
But again, because your ovulatory phase is one day, you're not going to go straight from having this like surge of energy to right. all of a sudden I'm in my luteal and like things die down.
Right. It's just kind of a signal to like, hey, let's start slowing things down yeah. again. Or if you want to, you know, that's okay.
Right. Yeah. So luteal, again, it's walking, it's strength training, it's Pilates, which is strength training and Pilates are my personal favorites. Mm-hmm. I think like what's cool about both of those things is they are really, what's the word?
Functional?
Well, yeah. And there's just so much like diversity that can be had in those two types of things, because, you know, you can do like an arm workout with weights. Mm-hmm. And if you want to make it, you know, challenging, but not super exhausting, then you go for a lower weight.
Right.
But you could do that exact same workout at a different time in your cycle, increase the weight, increase the weight, and it's going to be a completely different experience.
Yeah, for sure.
Which I really like. And then with Pilates, like, I just feel like you go on YouTube, you type Pilates, I mean, thousands
You've
of
got
results.
Pilates.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I appreciate Pilates because I've noticed, because I used to work out really intensely and I would follow these people who I still sometimes will do their workouts, but mm-hmm. their workouts were just so intense all the time. Mm-hmm. There was really no like moment of intensity and then moment of rest. It was just intense. And that really was bad for my endometriosis. And I didn't quite realize that mm-hmm. until I started paying more attention to my body and how it felt after workouts. Mm-hmm. And I would be out for like days. And I was like, this doesn't seem like a normal response. Versus when I started doing Pilates, which I started to do after my last surgery, I was mm-hmm. like, wait a second. I'm still like spending a good amount of time working on my abs, working mm-hmm. on my legs, working on my arms, but the movements are more isolated to a certain mm-hmm. area and they're just slower.
Yeah.
They're not even necessarily less intense. They're just a slower pace.
Yeah.
So your body has time to actually like think about the movement it's doing. Pay attention to your form, which is really important. Mm-hmm. Am I actually doing this correctly and yeah. safely? And it also encourages, like, it's better to do less reps with accuracy mm-hmm. rather than a ton of reps and you're not paying any attention to, am I actually doing this correctly
yeah,
and safely?
Yeah, having poor form and
yeah.
risking getting injured.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so what I like about Pilates is I feel like Pilates is the one type of exercise that I can kind of carry throughout all the phases of my cycle mm-hmm. because totally. I can modify it.
Yeah.
You know, and yeah. even so many of the Pilates workouts will have literal modifications on the screen. They'll be like, okay, if you yeah. want to challenge yourself, do this.
Right.
If you need to take it a step back, like do this.
Totally.
And yeah. I think that's great. So, yeah. Yeah. yeah so basically, I mean, if we've learned anything, it's that one, you should move your body.
Yes.
At all times, you know.
Always.
At all times of your cycle.
Yes, yes, yes.
And I am a very big, it's funny. In some ways, I'm a very big believer in like just push through the pain. Mm-hmm. And then on other side, I'm like, girl, you go through so much, like give yourself a break.
Yeah.
But challenging yourself to move every day is an area I feel passionately about, like pushing yourself,
like mentally pushing yourself.
Yeah. Because I think I speak from experience, like once you get out of that habit and routine, it is like, it's hard to find the motivation to get back in.
It is.
And, and quite literally the only reason I started getting back into it was because, you know, I think I mentioned this, but my naturopath was like, use it or lose it. Like if you don't use your muscles and you don't grow your muscles, they will deteriorate.
Yeah.
Like you're, they're not just going to stay put. Like you're going to lose them. And that's going to be true with your strength and your flexibility and all these things. And I was like, well, I am only 27 years old. I cannot be losing my, my muscle cannot be deteriorating. That's ridiculous. I have so much life to live. And so it was kind of like hey, wake up. Like, you know, you, yes, you have a lot of reasons maybe why, or a lot of excuses why you shouldn't move your body, but start small.
Yeah.
And then you're probably going to see the benefits and then, you know, so.
Yeah. Cause it'll sneak up on you and it does happen so gradually that all of a sudden you're so much weaker than you used to be. And and it's not even like a, we got to be bodybuilders and we're working towards like a certain fitness goal. It's just like, no, we're moving because if you stop moving, then it's a lot harder to start again versus an object in motion will stay in motion.
Wow. Bringing physics into science. The podcast.
Science Corner.
You can bet we will always have something scientific to share.
A little science snack.
Every day on the science snack. And my sister said it.
Yes. Yeah. But yeah, no, I like that. I like, because I do think there are two extremes. There's the extremes of like, girl, like you take care of yourself. You don't need to have this hustle mindset. Like just relax, like eat that bowl of ice cream, treat yourself. And it's like, yes, for sure. But that can quickly turn into a like, that's just how you're living.
Every night is a treat.
Every night is a treat. And then there's the other side of like, restriction, 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 push yourself. Like you're only as strong as your mental capabilities. Like, I don't care if you're in pain. And it's like, okay, there is a balance of just being aware of like, I want to take care of myself. And these are ways that I can do it. So if I'm having a day where I'm not really feeling like doing that, just taking a moment to remind yourself like, no, I'm doing this to take care of myself, not to punish myself, not to, you know, because someone told me I had to, or society is like telling me this is exactly what I have to be doing. But solely because you're looking out for yourself. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, on the other hand, doing that, but not feeling like you have to push yourself if you are in pain or you are having a bad day, and not, you know, ever feeling guilty if you miss a day, because guess what? We're human and life happens and that's just how it goes. But I do think if you at least push yourself to have the mentality of like, I'm going to take care of myself and just being really serious about that, then the rest will fall into place of how you do that and how consistent you are with it.
Yeah, definitely. And like when you said, you know, if you only miss a day, like don't, you know, don't beat yourself up over it. And absolutely, because it is one day. But I've also had this kind of switch in like, if you have the opposite mindset of like, well, it's just one day, and you continue that mindset, then it's incredible how quickly those days add up. So it's good to, again, it's the balance. It's like, it's good to give yourself rest and, but to have the rest with every intention of, okay, the next day I'm going to push myself to show up in a, you know, maybe a little bit more than I did today.
Yeah.
And like I said, if that's 5 minutes, great.
Literally. Yeah. Great. And that's the beauty of movement, is there is so much diversity. And like, heck, if you have a day full of errands, then just park a little farther and get those extra steps in. Like that's movement and that's taking care of yourself. And then like 5 minutes before you go to bed, just like do a little stretch. It doesn't have to be anything crazy, but I totally agree. It's like, yes, give yourself grace, but also don't be afraid to get creative with ways to kind of work around your schedule and look for ways to move, even if it's just for a few minutes.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
Cool.
Well, that's all I have.
Thank you for teaching us.
You're so welcome.
Such a gifted teacher, always.
Thank you. Okay. Speaking of, just quick little story and then we'll end it. So at school, the kids are going to celebrate my birthday on Friday.
Cute.
And I already knew this because my room mom told me.
Okay.
But I don't know exactly what I am not aware of, but apparently it's something because my kids went to library last Friday and they come back from library and they like, they walk through the door and they're like, okay guys, just play it cool. Play it cool. Don't say anything to Mrs. Sopp and she won't know. And I'm like,
and you're like, I'm standing right there. More.
And then I was like, what are you talking about? And they're like, oh, nothing. We did everything normal in library today. And I was like, really? Because it doesn't sound like it. And one little kid goes, Mrs. Sopp, it was the most ordinary day in the library. Nothing out of the ordinary occurred. And I was like,
bless your parents. Like,
were you guys bad? And they were like, no, like in unison. And I was like, do I need a call? And then I said the librarian's name. And they're like, no. And I was like, okay. And then one little girl goes, and don't be thinking it has anything to do with your birthday because that would just not be true.
Oh.
Okay. And I go, okay. And then I hear her go, I fooled her.
Oh, I love kids. I love them.
And so, and I was just like, I just like, yeah, I love them. I just had to share that story because brought it up again today.
Oh.
And I'm like, friends, if you just had never said anything, I would have, you know, and who knows, like they probably made me like cards in library or something.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know, but like they are just so excited. And one little girl was like, I cannot believe your birthday's right around the corner. And I was like, you and me like, both, you know, sister.
Like, don't remind me. Oh my gosh, that's so cute. I can't wait to hear what they have in store for you.
Well, they keep bringing up cheese. So I'm like, but they keep bringing up like, am I going to bring the cheese? And I'm like, no, bring the cheese.
They're all bringing cheese.
I don't know. Wouldn't that be hilarious?
Like a giant charcuterie board.
Honestly, wouldn't be mad about it. As long as it's not from their Lunchable or a warm Babybel, because I do like, get that on a frequent occasion.
Mac and cheese or Kraft. American cheese.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, tell them real cheese only, please. Yeah.
I like this kind of cheese.
Yeah. Well, they know, right? They know what kinds of cheeses you like.
Yes, they do. Yes.
You've taught them well. That's what I'm saying. Great teacher.
Thank you. Thank you.
Well, you're going to have to tell us what they end up doing.
I will.
That's so adorable.
I will let you know. Yeah. All right.
Love it.
Just wanted to share.
All right. Story. Well, if you guys have any fun tips or ideas of how you like to work out during your cycle, please share. And otherwise, meet us next week for talking nutrition in our cycles.
Yes. And if you do a workout and move your body, then 5 stars.
5 stars for yourself and for us.
Yes. It's a win-win. And actually, technically, taking your hands, picking up your phone, typing in a review and hitting 5 stars, it is moving. That's all I'm going to say.
Wow, yeah. You might be onto something.
Probably not, though, so don't take that advice. That's not moving your body. Okay.
They're like, and workout done.
And they're like, and I went on my phone and scrolled.
I mean, it could be like a humble brag. Like, if you give us a rating this week, we know you did a workout.
That's true.
But, you know, teach their own.
Yeah.
Do what you want.
Yeah. We're not here to push you. All right. Well, on that note,
toodaloo.
Bye.